how does this fit into the overall business strategy? And ultimately, it has to produce a qualified lead. What social media does, it allows you access to a lot of those people. And then the strategy is to take them off the social media and put them into a process. People don't remodel their kitchens any longer just so they can cook food. They do it because they want more meaning in their life, and they're typically as a result of meaning is an event of some kind. So ultimately what social media allows them to do, if it's structured properly, is create a virtual line out the door and a waiting room of qualified customers that, first of all, know you and then like you. Obviously, they're not going to buy anything from you until they trust you.
So, hey, everybody. Jim Gourlay, founder of Cabinet Business Solutions, is joining me today. You are going to be so glad that you've met this gentleman. He is a principal of a manufacturer's rep agency. Thank you, Jim, for being here. How are you?
Great, Jeff. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Jim was telling me earlier that, like so many industries out there, the cabinet business distribution channels and customer buying behaviors in this industry have drastically changed due to the economy and social media. And as a result, the focus has really shifted from selling products to customer experience. Jim, what exactly do you mean by that? And can you tell us a little bit about how long you've been in the cabinet industry?
Yes, yeah, sure, Jeff. Actually, I've been in it for as long as I can remember. I started off actually as a cabinet maker for a short period of time, and then I got into the sales and design side of the business and then opened up my own rep agency close to 15, 20 years ago. So it's primarily working with cabinet professionals and independent cabinet dealerships, and we represent a number of different manufacturers, some of them sold nationally. But what I was referring to as far as the shift of distribution channels is the focus of in the past 15, 20 years has been on the actual product. Now, cabinetry, obviously, there's a lot to it. There's it's furniture to some degree, but it really recently is becoming more of a commodity than an actual craft. And that has a lot to do with an abundance of suppliers and the distribution channels because of the Chinese imports, IKEA, Home Depot, all those companies have entered the cabinet business and really changed the business to becoming more of a commodity than an actual a business. And in our business, Jeff, the design part of it is an important element of it. So it's not just the product, it's actually the experience and the role that individual designer plays is critical to a successful project. The rules have really changed in terms of what people are buying. The products are pretty straightforward, and they're very much the same, actually. But the designer that conducts the whole process is really what makes the difference. In fact, Jeff, it's always been the case. You know, in some ways we talk about all this technology and all these changes, but in my opinion, it really is getting back to the basics. And the mm-hmm. basics are people buy from who they know, like, and trust. And even when things were going well, the cabinet professionals that we were working with did quite well not because of the products they had, but because they had a better customer experience and a better process that facilitated the whole experience.
Okay, so I want to talk to you about today and share with everyone out there is your take on social media and how social media plugs into this challenge. I forget the word challenge, Jim. This opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Deb, I really appreciate the term you used, challenge, because you're right. At the moment, it appears to be a real challenge because it's complicated. There's a lot of moving parts. But really what it is an opportunity. But it doesn't have a direct application to their business yet.
How are you helping people overcome the way they're framing this as like a challenge and more as a opportunity? I mean, what are you saying these days to business owners?
Well, again, I love your term frame, because once it's framed, then we can begin to talk about what's inside the frame. And to simplify something that can become very complicated, but actually is not. It's creating relevant content. Now I say I didn't say just content, because content could be a lot of different things, right? Just a blog or just information, conversation. But relevant content is something that is relevant to somebody that is in search of a kitchen. In our case, it's mainly kitchens. The designers that we're working with that have really used it effectively realize the power in social media is that you don't have to appeal to a broad audience any longer. You can be very specific and then craft a relevant content that applies to what their needs are. And then in our industry, it's kind of a unique buying behaviors and decision-making process where it can take up to 5 years. Somebody actually starts thinking about remodeling their kitchen 5 years before they do it on average. Now, once they decide to do it, it can be done within 5 months. But that's a great opportunity for them to start having that conversation. And when I say that conversation, really what people want is all the same. They want examples of what you do for people like them. And what that means is it's really no different than going to Costco. If you ever notice, there's all those sample food carts at the end of the different aisles so they can sample the food. Well, social media is like the most powerful tool for them to sample their work. And by creating relevant content, in our case, it's just projects. It's information regarding the projects. That allows that customer to sample the services, which is really what they're buying.
I'm with you, but it sounds like you're giving away the service component. And I know there's going to be some folks out there who are shaking their head up and down and then a little bit left and right saying, you know, I'm up for this. I understand now. Thank you very much, Jim. I got what relevant content means. It means, you know, information that relates to the buying process, you know, the questions that customers have inside that buying process, getting a lot of those questions answered. And then also you're saying giving away the design component. I mean, how do you balance that? I mean,
let me try to be a little more specific, Jeff, because I think the best information comes from actually what's going on. So just recently, we're actually going to do a workshop in a few weeks on this topic for about, I think, probably 30, 40 designers here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And so what we decided to do was go on some of the social media sites and blogs and see the questions that were being asked by the consumer. There's one particular social media site called House, H-O-U-Z-Z. Over 1.5 million users are on that site at this moment. It's just phenomenal what that's created. But what's great about this is that not only are the work that we're referring to these projects, and it's not just kitchens, it's all different types of home improvement projects. It's where the professional posts their work and then it allows the consumer to go and look at their work. But under just about every single one of the blogs, the consumer requested more information about the project. And it was really interesting because you could see that there was almost a frustration level happening within the interaction because the information in the picture wasn't enough. That the consumer was desperately asking for more information, and the designer was trying to deliver it to them through a blog, but it really was short of what they were wanting. So when I say you're not really giving anyway in our business, because it is an individual business, it's almost like an artist. A designer is like an artist. These are very individual experiences, and sharing their projects, the third party story of something they already did, is very powerful, and it also gives the prospective client information so they can get to know them and like them.
So, Jim, what is it specifically? Let's drill down even further into the word content. You know, what is it that the end consumer wants out there that makes it so easy to capture that lead and nurture that lead over the course of months, typically, I suppose, and turn that into a sale?
The short version of this, I guess you'd say, is creating, back to my earlier comment about how does this fit into the overall business strategy? And ultimately, it has to produce a qualified lead that is ready to pay for their services. What social media does, Jeff, it's such an unbelievable, powerful tool that we've never had before. It allows you access to a lot of those people, and then the strategy is to take them off the social media and put them into a process. And this is where we get into emotional direct response marketing, where they find you through social media or they find you through relevant content, and then you want to pull them off that and put them into somewhat of a campaign. And then there's automation right now that's very inexpensive that can take them through a process of this. And the best example of that is sharing them a project. And we use what I call the six senses, and this is a book that was written a few years ago by Daniel Pink, A Whole New Mind, and Why Right Brainers Will Rule the World. And in short, the book talks about how we've shifted from a informational society to a conceptual society, and how the senses are such an important part of the buying behavior. So the senses are empathy. You have to show empathy in your what you do for your clients. Design, which is very good for our business because it's so design related. And design, a good example of design is the iPhone. You know, that's just great design. That's really, again, the opportunity. And then it gets into how important you have to put this into a story. We can share it. You have a symphony where the right brainers have the ability to take all these parts and components and put it together to create a successful project. And then meaning is probably one of the biggest ones, where people don't remodel their kitchens any longer just so they can cook food. They do it because they want more meaning in their life, and they're typically as a result of meaning is an event of some kind. We find that many people that decide to remodel their kitchen are either having a baby or a grandbaby, or there's some kind of event that finally motivated them to do this project. And then the big one is play. They want to be entertained in a way that the project is fun. And as if anybody's remodeled their kitchen, they fear that. So it becomes an entertainment component too as well. So we use those six senses to capture a project and then deliver that to the prospective clients.
I mean, there's six different senses that you can play to. Would you say that you use those? It sounds like you might use those as brainstorming ideas. Not everything that you do would include the play component, as an example.
If you put it all into one story, then that's what you're sharing. Is you're sharing a third-party story, because the power of a third-party story is far more effective than me telling you what I do for you. Is less effective than you hearing what I did for somebody else. It's a human element that's just the way it is. So
okay, I got it.
Yeah, so that's really what we're doing. Now, you're right. There's a lot, obviously a lot to this, but as long as we're touching on the six senses, ultimately that's what the consumer, everybody wants. And as we enter the...
So customer testimonials, is it that simple? I mean, you know, to dramatize, you know, one of your customer testimonials in a vivid way. Am I right so far? Because then I want to get to...
Again, testimonials are obviously effective. Unfortunately, they're not as believable as they used to be because they've been so overused, and a lot of them are staged. So this is one big testimony. I guess you could consider that as a story, as a testimony of a customer. But it's really, again, a glimpse of what they would experience or what the value that the designer provides if they did business with them. And ultimately, Jeff, what we're trying to do, quite frankly, and you can do this because of social media, you have access to these people because they're divided, especially in some of these sites where you can go specifically to the group that you want to speak to. You want to create a line out the door. I mean, it's really simple math at the end of the day for all businesses, and you want to create a demand for your services. I use the word line out the door because if you've ever looked for somewhere to eat on, say, a Saturday evening, and there's a line out the door of one restaurant, there's something very attractive about that that people are drawn to. So by creating a demand for your services and this line out the door, a couple things happen. Most importantly, the confidence of the designer, in our case, goes way, way up. They feel better about themselves. The other thing is they can actually pick and choose who they want to do business with. And that's very powerful, too, because you find once you start doing business with people you like, you get really good at it. And then it's the law of attraction. You attract more of those people. So ultimately, what social media allows them to do, if it's structured properly, is create a virtual line out the door and a waiting room of qualified customers that like you and know you, first of all, know you, and then like you. Obviously, they're not going to buy anything from you until they trust you.
Okay, well, that concludes part one of my interview with Jim Gourlay. Now, do not miss part two, where he begins to tell us all the details on how to turn an engaged kitchen cabinet shopper into a buyer using social media.